today on Real Radio.
Isn't it a wonderful thing to see in your life when God's word takes control of you? Because when that happens, God acts through your life, in your head, in the moment, and you're the one that's surprised. God takes over. God's word gives us light.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, continues now in his series called Who Told You? You know, oftentimes doctrine is based on past experiences or outside influences. In this series, we learn how to discern the voices of our day based on what Scripture reveals. In Part 1 and Part 2 of this lesson, we learned that the God of the Bible has prearranged a specific timeline of events, but that no one knows the day or the hour of His return. We also discovered why God wants us to know He's coming back. It's because He promised to return for His church, to meet us in the air, to forever be with Him. And He always keeps His promises. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that in these perilous times, we're not to be troubled or worried or lose heart. Instead, we are to be watchful, ready, and eagerly anticipate the Lord's return. And now, continuing his lesson called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
And there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Verse 8 says, and these are the beginning of sorrows. That's in the New King James. It's not as forceful in the New King James, unfortunately. For example, Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 in the Weymouth New Testament translation says, but all these miseries are but like the early pains of childbirth. That's very accurate to the Greek language and to the Aramaic. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 8 out of the ESV, the English Standard Version, it says, all these are but the beginning of birth pains. That's very accurate. Listen, have you ever given birth? Have you ever been with somebody giving birth? I remember Lisa and I, we went to church one night, laid down, we were minding our own business, went to church, went to sleep, and the next thing I knew, there was this rush of water against my leg. And, you know, what happened? Is this a tsunami? What's going on here? And Lisa's water broke while we were laying in bed. What does that mean? It means someone's coming. She got up and she did what women do before they go into the hospital to have a baby. She took a shower, put on her makeup, got all pretty at 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what do we do? She's all calm. I'm all anxious. But you know what we were doing? We were preparing. That was a major sign. Someone's coming. We don't know who it is, but they're in there. We're going to meet them soon. Her. Soon. And we went to the hospital. And all along the way, you know, they put all the things in there and the probes and the devices. This is too much information, but she told me she's in the delivery room and the technology is so advanced, even 35 years ago. She told me, will you shut up? Because the device, I could see the contraction coming before she could feel it. Because I'm watching the scope. And I told her, oh man, this one's... I'm not kidding. This one's coming. Start breathing. So she took that one, and then this one went just goes like this. It looked like a Richter scale. Just, and she's like, oh, this is fine. And then I watched this, and I said, the next one's huge. It's huge. And she goes, will you shut up? Too much information. But I knew something was coming. And Jesus says, listen, these are the things regarding the last day's events of Matthew 24 and 25. Watch. There's going to be birth pains. Right now, church, we can't even prophetically, technically say that the birth pains that the earth is going through are exactly related to the fulfillment of Scripture. We'd love to say that. It sells books. It creates hits on your website. But what we are seeing right now, church, is the establishment of the stage for the grand play to commence. Things are being moved into position. Jesus said it beautifully. He said, when you see these things, what? Begin to come to pass. What does he say? Look up, for your redemption draws near. Don't be discouraged. Don't be bummed. Get ready. Get ready to not only go up, but get ready to go out and help those who are in need and those who need to hear the gospel. Be active now more than ever because of what Christ has done for you. Be an agent by which you go out and tell others what great things he has done. It's a remarkable time. What effect should these things in the world around us have upon our own lives? To get up, to be ready, to look up. So the first thing that we see regarding this is, how should we be responding? Well, listen, we should be discerning. We should be perceptive and aware. Can you write that down? We need to be discerning and perceptive and aware of what's going on. And we've watched Floridians attempt to either escape Irma or hunker down to endure it. Regardless of your choice, people were preparing. Nobody stood out there and had a picnic as Irma arrived or is arriving at this hour as I speak. Either way, people were preparing. Some people heeded the warning quickly and prepared. Some people left town altogether. But people went through the necessary acts to prepare. According to the Bible, there's a hurricane of evil coming into this world. It's not only happening, it's going to increase, according to the Bible. In James chapter 1, verse 21, James 1, 21, I'll read out of the new, NIV standard, or NIV right now for this. James 1, 21, 22, James says, therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. But he went on to say, be doers of the word. So what should we be doing at this time? We should be very discerning. Church, listen, I don't know how to put this other than just say it the way it's in my heart. If we were sitting at my coffee table, I'd just say it like this. It's time for us to just buck up. It's time for us to just stop whining and stop looking at our own little issues and realize that we need to be united on this one thing. We need to be discerning. We need to be aware. Listen, I would say this if it was just you and I. I'd say we need to exercise really the true meaning of the word that Jesus said regarding fruit inspection. You know what he said? He said that we're to judge the fruit of others. You're not supposed to judge. You're not supposed to pass condemnation on people. That's not our place. But he did say we're supposed to inspect people's lives. You understand that? This is important. Right now, and as we'll pray this afternoon together, right now people are going through some of the most horrific events, and they're good, wonderful Christian people. This is what we're watching. Wonderful, stellar Christians, I'm telling you. I think I have faith in God, you know, but when I see them, I'm wondering, would my faith endure such hardship that they're going through? And they're shining through their life-challenging issue by the grace of God. Are you with me? Then there are those who are in the body of Christ. They're goofing off, spiritually being a knucklehead, not walking with Jesus and all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, are you with me? Something hits their life and they just found out this or they just found out that. And it's I don't mean this in a mean way. It's a beautiful thing to see. Because God got their attention in their suffering, and boy, are they heading back to Jesus. It's beautiful. Thank God, right? Nothing else would get their attention, but that thing did. And it's a wonderful thing. What's going on? God's preparing his bride to go up. He's preparing his church. But you need to be very, very aware. And you can't be aware unless the word of God has been hidden in your heart. When someone says something, I don't care who they are. When someone writes you something, or when somebody invites you somewhere, or whatever it might be. Listen, does it create a potential for filth and to affect your spirit? Is it something that Christ would approve of? When Jesus comes back, listen, you don't want to be ashamed, as we mentioned a couple weeks ago at his return. You want to be ready. But when people invite you, be careful for the pressure. When people will knowingly or unknowingly target your position with Christ and your witness for Christ, and they'll say, hey, you know what? We know you're a Christian, but hey, how about coming over here to this thing? Watch out. Don't answer them because you want to be nice. Back up and say, I'll get back to you. You need to talk to God first. Joshua made a big mistake. Do you remember that? Joshua didn't take counsel with God, and Joshua was deceived. And God scolded Joshua for not consulting him on what direction to take. We need to be a discerning people. And that means we need to have this word filtering everything that's going on in our lives. Psalm 119, verse 130. 119, 130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I don't know about you, but I'm simple. I need his word. Isn't it a wonderful thing to see in your life when God's word takes control of you? Because when that happens, are you listening? When that happens, God acts through your life, in your head, in the moment, and you're the one that's surprised. You're the one that's surprised. God takes over. God's word gives us light. The word of God is to be that light and that lamp. And the Christian is to be someone in these last days regarding the things that are happening around the world. The Christian ought to be someone that's living by example. The world out there is scared, everybody. Rightfully so, they should be scared. If you're not a Christian here today, if you're not a Christian watching right now, you should be scared to death. Everybody's talking. By the way, no one's admitting it right now. No one's saying it right now. But we're watching the East Coast get hammered. We watch the South get hammered. What's in the back of your mind? Or maybe it's not in the back of your mind. Exactly. She said it. Don't tell me you're not thinking, earthquake. Right? Don't say that, Pastor. I remember my mom would say, don't say that. Like I have the power to bring it on. But it's true. You know what? When's the last time we had a Whopper? And I'm not talking burger. I'm talking earth-shaking Whopper. People are getting a little tense. The hour of our witness in ministry is coming for all of us. But we're to be people who are aware, not caught off guard. We don't have to be caught off guard. And we need to be aware of the fact that there are a lot of dangerous people out there. In 2 Peter chapter 3, 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 3, the Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Remember the man you saw a moment ago? That guy, that's not a fake website. That's not, we didn't take that guy's statement out of context. You could go watch that whole 111-minute sermon, and you'll feel like you should take a shower after you listen to that quack. That guy is bad news, and he's scoffing. Did you hear the people laugh when he said Jesus isn't coming back? Scoffers! Isn't that awesome how accurate the Bible is? The Bible says, hey, how do we know we're in the last days? You're going to have people laughing about the Bible. Walking after their own lust, saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, he's not coming back. For this they are willingly ignorant of that, but by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That is an amazing scientific statement. We could talk about it some other day. Whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's the great flood of Noah's day. But the heavens and the earth, which now are, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Look at verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Verse 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, living for Christ. All of these things that we look at in the world ought to cause us to stand up straight and to straighten up. Listen, church, none of us are perfect. These kinds of things that are going on in the world around us, my goodness, some of the things that are going on in the world around us should cause us to pay close attention. Did you see this on the news? I don't know if you follow international news, but right now, India is in a state of emergency. Do you want to know why? It turns out that those North Koreans, they get around. Did you know that the North Koreans have been working in building nuclear technology delivery systems for Pakistan to be used against India? You can look that up more. Just Google India or Indian news. North Korea is assisting Pakistan to launch a nuclear attack against India. Amazing. Again, you already know about North Korea's hydrogen bomb test. By the way, China's all upset about that because the air that might come out of the ground from where they tested it might blow into China, the fallout. China is now recording or registering the air. Hezbollah declares Second Liberation Day after Lebanon defeats ISIS. This is ridiculous. This is the Middle Eastern news. Lebanon defeats ISIS with help from Syria. You know that's absolutely false news, fake news. Lebanon, are you kidding me? Lebanon defeated ISIS? Are you kidding me? You may not like this because it doesn't fit your political worldview, but have you noticed, have you watched what's happened to ISIS in the last 7 months? They've got the, can I say this in church? They've got the snot beat out of them. Do you want to know why? Somebody in Washington said, I don't want to hear about ISIS anymore. You guys are generals. Do whatever you need to do. Call me when it's done. The sad thing is the United States has devastated ISIS and they're on the run. They're in pieces now. The bummer is, watching the news, Iran and Russia stepped right in and took all the ISIS land. Russia's in the Middle East. In fact, here it is, the Iranian Times, Iran filling the void left by ISIS. And I mentioned that Israeli attack the other day. It's the largest, most extensive attack that Israel has launched in 10 years. And right now, as we are in church today, Israel is conducting its largest military drills in 20 years because they expect war with Iran and Hezbollah. What does that mean for us? Not to be scared. It means to get ready to tell our neighbors. Jesus said there'd be days like this. Remarkable times. The second thing is, let's be enduring. What effect should these kind of days have upon us, everybody? We all need to hear this next one. We need to be enduring, persistent. We need to be long-suffering, everyone. We need to be enduring. Now, as I read this next passage from 2 Timothy 4, you judge. You ask yourself, does it sound like days in which we're living in? I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul writes to Timothy, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. That's a tremendous statement. That's the rapture of the church, and the kingdom is the second coming of Christ. Verse 2, preach the word. This is for all of us. This is not just for Jack or for ministers of the gospel. It's for everyone. Who do you know? Do you know someone? Anybody in here not know anybody? Turn around and meet someone. And as soon as you meet them, preach to them. It means that we're supposed to, the people that we know, we're supposed to tell them. Preach the word. What next? Be ready. In season and out. In other words, don't let feelings. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like doing the right thing. My grandson, he's such a cutie. He's so transparent. When he acts up and he's being a bad guy, because he is a son of Adam, so he can be a little stinker. He said, we want you to be good now. You stop that and you be good. You know what he tells you? He's like, so he looks at you and he just goes, but you don't understand. I don't want to be good right now. Isn't that honest? He just tells you, I don't want to be good right now. How many times do we as Christians look at God like that? God says, knock it off. And we say, I don't want to be good right now. It's remarkable. Listen, we need to be ready in season and out, not based on feeling. We need to do the right thing in season and out of season. We need to do the right thing no matter how we feel. Why? He says there, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. This is the body of Christ. This is church. This is church. Listen, everybody, we got to stop being so big as a church. Stop it. Being big in number has nothing to do with adopting being big in concept or idea. We can be big in number, but we can be small in concept and idea. Listen, know those that are around you. We tell you this so often. Get to know people. I told you before, we're going to start doing some things that are going to force you as best we can force you. I'd love to put you all in a headlock and make you love one another. Like mom and dad, go to your room and love your brother or your sister, you know. But Have dinner with one another. Take each other to lunch. You know, we'll have like some after service lunch day. You got to grab somebody and take them to lunch. You know, terrified. The day that we do that, no one's going to come to church. It's too personal. Get personal. Get to know one another. Establish some friendships. What if we don't like the person? Then take somebody else out to lunch. Start spending time together. Why? Because we need to look at each other's lives and convince and rebuke and admonish and correct one another. It's called church. You hurt my feelings. Too bad. When it's spoken the truth in love, it changes people's lives. All this stuff about wearing our heart on our sleeve is ridiculous. The world can do it. That's all they got. The church needs to buck up. See somebody in trouble? Reach out to them.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. Here on Real Radio, in a message called Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3. Thanks for listening, and our hope is that you keep your light burning with anticipation of the Lord's return. Who Told You About the End Times, Part 3 is part of Pastor Jack's series called Who Told You? A series that gives us the truth about heaven, salvation, God's enduring grace, and the future of His church. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. And we would love for you to get your hands on a copy of the DVD set, Who Told You About the End Times? Who Told You About the End Times is Pastor Jack's series that expounds on the doctrine of salvation. And we'd like to get that into your hands for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And get your very own copy of Who Told You About the End Times by Pastor Jack Hibbs for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Hey, Pastor Jack, I know you've always got your finger on the pulse of things to read and things to watch and whatnot. Is there anything special you'd like to throw out to our listeners today, just for grins?
Yeah, you know what? Recently, we've been talking about the church and all and various topics. I want to encourage all of you to just take advantage of a resource that is out there. It's a lot of fun. I share it with a lot of young people. But it's just a blast, everyone. Take the time to write this down. If not, you can visit our website and get the details more if you miss it. But I'd like you to go start checking out on a regular basis a website called gotquestions.org.
I'm putting it in my notes right now.
Absolutely. Gotquestions.org. It is a wonderful, quick reference, safe. It is, when I say safe, I mean it is conservative, biblical, Christ-honoring, God-exalting, high view of Scripture website where you can read on any topic. You can put in homosexuality, baptism, church, evolution, environment, death, heaven, hell, angels, demons. You can put it in there and you're going to be given about a 3 to 4 minute Bible study on that topic. It's a whole lot of fun. It's great to use as a conversational piece with believers and non-believers alike. Gotquestions.org. I highly recommend it. Go there and make it your own.
Gotquestions.org. By the way, next time you're on YouTube, why don't you set up your notifications to let you know when Pastor Jack has put something new up on YouTube? Wouldn't that be great? Just go to YouTube and look up Real Life with Jack Hibbs. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Lots of ways to donate. If you feel led from the Lord to go ahead and donate, why don't you do that? Go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the Donate tab. Hey, here's our phone number if you should need it. It's 877-RR-RADIO. That's a toll-free phone call. 877-777-2346. Also, here's the address. Jot this one down. P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.